dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it? What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We are back.
Indeed, indeed.
We're back. All right. I'm excited as always. I love when we get together. I love when we talk. I do love being together in person, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. It's just awesome that we have the technology, the ability to be able to meet like this so that we can still, you know, make some things happen.
So, oh, yeah. Well, without our neighborhood-friendly Sasquatch, he just started his own little side business, didn't he, from my understanding?
He's working a second job right now, but he is working working towards doing a show based on fixing Jeeps for the most part, which will be a YouTube show coming up here in the future. Not 100% sure on names or anything like that yet, but look out for that Sasquatch Fixing Jeeps. It's coming. It's coming. Get excited. But yeah, man, I don't know. Anything new with you? Anything happening? Anything crazy?
No, man. Same old, same old. Well, we have been doing a lot of filming as of late. So for those that are unaware, we done a lot of filming in Ohio at the Anon Mound and Miamisburg Mound. Got some good camera shots and drone shots, and then us just sitting down and talking. And we even done something like this, talking about like an overview of it all. So have all those puzzle pieces. We're hoping to make a documentary about that. And then also I went on to Serpent Mound and done the same thing there. So there's some more puzzle pieces. And then recently we went to a local guy that had a Bigfoot encounter in our area out on the lake. So we went out there and got his testimony and went for a nice boat ride and got caught in a hurricane.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. I'll tell you, man, that was crazy. That'll be an interesting one for everybody out there. This is not just your prototypical Bigfoot encounter. But get excited for that one. It's a story that'll get your skin crawling a little bit.
Yep. So we got a lot of video and drone footage and GoPro image of all those different types of documentaries. So a lot of cool stuff in the works, just trying to piece them all together.
For sure. I'm excited to see it myself. You know, it's always different when you see all the pieces, but when it gets put together, like you said, the full puzzle comes together. You know, it's just really cool to see a finished product like that. So I'm excited.
And this is my first time actually trying to make a documentary. So when you're sitting on the couch, you know, you're watching all these various people that does these documentaries. And I don't know about you, but I know me, when I watch that, I'm like, dude, that's so simple. I can do that. Man, I need to do that. Until you get behind it and you actually try to be the one to put those pieces together and make a coherent flowing story, it's a lot more complex than it looks.
It is, but I guarantee you with the not only the gear, not only the technology that we have at our disposal and the things that we've been able to use, I mean, God's blessed us innumerably and you did make a pretty big purchase on a couple of things just to help out with that. But, you know, I do believe the quality. I watch a lot of these documentaries that we see because I'm a documentary junkie. Like if I find one on Netflix or on wherever that I think is captivating, something about, you know, ancient America, something about, you know, the pre-floods, you know, anything like this, I find something like that, I'm just drawn in. I think it's awesome. And most of them have great information, awesome information. But the quality of the way they're put together, the CGI they put into it, even the filming of it is so rudimentary in most of them that I know that the product at the end of what you'll put together, of what we'll put together in the future, is going to be 10 times better than what I see out there for the most part. I'm not downplaying anybody else's material or anything else out there. I just have a lot of confidence in the stuff that will come out of this between the Dig and Prometheus lens and some of the other stuff that we're going to do here in the near future. I think is going to blow some minds and change some lives. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And for us, I mean, or for me, I love doing it because it's just like a little, you know, adventure. Mm-hmm. You get to go out and play with your toys, and it's just an adventure that you happen to be filming.
The drone thing is so cool. I'm sorry. I want one of those now really bad, but that thing is so cool. The way you can do the different shots with that and whatnot. It blows my mind. So yeah.
And that's excited. Me like pulling the thing out two or three times, you know what I'm saying? Watching YouTube videos. I honestly just need to like dedicate some weekends to just getting this thing out and flying it and playing with it and getting more familiar with it. Cause there's even one point, spoiler alert, cause I'll say it cause it was funny. I got the drone up and like I said, you know, we got caught in a hurricane. So I launched the drone, you know, from the boat. And as you, most people probably know or don't know, it remembers your launch point. It's your home point. So when you try to land this thing, it tries to return home. Well, when you're on a boat, that thing's floating around and moving. So I launched this thing, and I honestly maybe had it up, what, Steve, 2 minutes, 5 minutes? I got just a little bit of footage. And then Steve's like, Justin, you might want to bring that thing in, buddy. There's a big storm right over our shoulder. And I look over, and you can see the rain, and it's probably 20 yards away, and it's coming down so hard you can't even see. And I'm trying to get this thing to return back home, and here comes the rain. I'm rushing, trying to get this thing. I end up just like running to the bow of the boat and lowering it just where I could get up and grab a hold of it, and threw Adam the remote and asked him just to hold it for me. And I had to like grab this thing out of the air, and it was fighting like hell trying to go back up. And I was pulling the battery out of it, and it was chaos trying to get everything out of the rain.
But it was fun. It's a story. It's an adventure. And every time you get to do something like that, so far, that's been some of the most fun things that we've gotten to do with this show. You know, I love talking to people. I love meeting new people. I love all that. But when you get to go and do something on site, it's a different experience. I mean, you know, you can talk about the mounds and just think about what's underneath your feet. Whoa. You know, think about going and filming where somebody says on that shoreline right there was a Bigfoot. And you're just like, you know, you're there. It's not just someone telling you a story. You're there. You can kind of relive it with them when they tell these stories, or even thinking about to the, you know, the archaic times, the Hopewell and the Indians and these mounds, the original mound builders. Like you're there, you're standing where they did this. To me, that's amazing. It's such a cool thing to be in that place. And most of those people we talk to around there, they're just oblivious to it. They're so used to it being there, they just ignore it. I mean, it's just amazing to me, something that can be that old, and we don't even know what's below our feet there. But I'll let you guys wait and watch the documentary because it will be awesome.
Well, show.
Oh, show. Well, anyway, why don't we pray here real quick? And then I think I'll pray this time. I think you prayed last time. So I'm not gonna, you know, pick on you too much. But we'll pray, and then we'll get started with what we're going to dive into today. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for all the blessings that you continue to give us that we do not deserve. Just continue to be with us. Continue to bless us. Keep helping us reach that one person that you need us to reach. Lord, just continue to bless the show in that way. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today, something a little bit different. I think, you know, we spend a lot of time in history. We spend a lot of time in Obviously the Bible, which I think that's what this show is founded on. I mean, it is the Dig Bible Podcast. But you know, we have to look at current events. We have to look at things that are going on right now. And then how do we view these things through our biblical lens? Because that's what the Bible's for. You know, it's supposed to be our translator. When we're looking at, you know, is this right, wrong? Is this, something that, how should we respond to these things? And we've talked about it before, the frog in the water, in the boiling water, right? If the frog jumps right in the boiling water, it jumps right out. But that's not been the case in our culture over the last 50 to 100 years. The frog has slowly been brought to a boil, and it's cooking in the water because it doesn't know any different. So we're seeing things that we're just accepting, not only as a culture, but as a Christian church. And I shouldn't even say accepting, but indoctrinating into our churches in some regard, which is very scary, because we're bringing things in and we're okaying things that are strictly forbidden in the Bible. But, you know, it's just something that everybody just kind of, you know, do what makes you feel good.
And love to sleep.
That's exactly what's happened. The church is a sleeping giant right now. And it's just a matter of how much of that's going to wake up before it's too late. But
oh yeah.
With that being said, we wanted to go over just maybe a couple of pertinent news articles, a couple things that have been happening recently, and just kind of give our insight or our thoughts on these things. You know, I'll say this, looking out at the Christian church, at people who share my, you know, beliefs, things of that nature, the core, we don't always agree on things. I'm going to say that right now. But when it comes to things that are strictly listed in the Bible, you know, there's things that me and Justin don't agree on, interpretations of certain things or how you should read this and what this is, but these are all non-salvation issues. But as soon as you're bringing sin into the church and you're accepting that, you're not condemning sin. Your church is changing to the cultural norms rather than going back to the Bible. And that's where this is a slippery slope. I'm not saying that all these things we're going to talk about today are that, but it's something that we're going to have to be very aware of what's happening around us and what's happening in the future. Now,
well, it's the like first, the biblical worldview, you know, we had that conversation a while back when we first started the show. Your Christian worldview is very important. You got to interpret all this stuff with your, you know, Holy Spirit glasses on, you know?
Mm-hmm. 100%. And that's the thing, is we got to make sure that we have those lenses on, right? We have to make sure those are in place, because if we have our materialistic glasses on, our worldly glasses on, then we kind of let a lot of these things slide. We have that veil over our eyes that blind us from the truth. Now, one of the things, and I'm going to be honest with you right up front, I don't get political very often. I'm not a political person. But I will say this, that I will stand by my Christian morals and values when they're infringed upon, or when, I see something blatantly that's wrong. Abortion, not for it. Abortion is murder. I mean, abortion is murder. That's a human being inside of you. Like, things like that, I will always stand by. I will always vote in, you know, pro-life. I will always vote for these things because this is what I stand by. This is my moral code, my moral conduct that I stand by. Now, well, one of the things,
should be, if you're a Christian. And I don't care to ruffle feathers. If you are saying you're a Christian and you vote for these Democrats or Republicans, whoever, if you're casting a vote for somebody that is pro-abortion, you know, I ain't saying you're going to go to hell for it, but you're going to be responsible for that vote because that's your endorsement, and it's wrong.
It is, and we can't. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You just can't. And there's certain things that I always will stand on 100%. You know, in the past I could look at, you know, somebody and say, hey, give me a good reason. You know, I don't care who you vote for. In the past, if you have a good reason If you can tell me why you voted for Obama the first time around, or voted for Trump, or voted for Bush, or voted for Clinton, tell me why. Give me a reason. Don't just tell me because they're Democrat or because they're Republican, because that's not a good reason. That's not a good reason. You need to have a reason. Educate yourself. Know why you're voting for that person. Know what they stand for. And then tell me that's why you're voting for that person. That's really what it comes down to. Know what you're voting for. Don't just go buy a ticket.
And you got to separate the person from the policy. You know, I made that comment, you know, about, you know, stereotypically Democrats, you know, being for abortion. Well, then I've even had some Christians say, well, then Donald Trump talks about grabbing females by the woohoo, you know, and all this other stuff. That's not Christian either. Yeah, but at the same time, that's a man and his personal things versus policy. You know, I think a lot of times Christians, we get caught up and think that we're voting for a priest or a pope. You know, no, we're voting for a politician. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to find a perfect politician or even person for that matter. So you have to look at the policies and see which one aligns best to your beliefs and ideologies, and then vote. Because, you know, I can't stand it when I hear Christian pastors and stuff talk about, you know, we're not to be involved in politics and we're to stay out of it. No, man. In the beginning, he gave us dominion of the earth. And that's what says we were made in the image of God. God has dominion and rules over heaven. So we are his ambassadors to rule over earth. So therefore, you have to be involved in politics. I mean, because it shapes the world that you live in.
Yeah. No, I agree. When I say I'm not political, it's just not something. When I go and, for example, it's not something that I'm going to go and sit there and argue and say, you're a Democrat, you're wrong, you're Republican, you're wrong. I'm not playing that game, because there's not a single person whose mind has been changed about what's right or wrong by telling them that they're voting for the wrong person in that regard. What we need to do is look and say, okay, what are your morals and values? What are they? Does the person that you're supposedly supporting align with what you believe? And you have to look at it that way. Christians need to look at it that way. We need to understand that abortion's murder. We need to understand, I mean, it's you know, modern day sacrifice to Baal. We've talked about that before. We cannot stand idly where things like that happen. I think it was Joe Horn in his presentation was talking about how many abortions. It was over 1 million abortions in the U.S. last year. Think about that. There's 1 million abortions. And I'm sorry, I get sick of hearing the well, what if, and you all have all these what ifs. Oh, yeah. What if this person was
such
sick
extreme
and,
cases.
And they put this, and then you're talking about 1 million babies were murdered.
Yeah.
1 million.
And that's the thing, you don't make laws and rules and regulations for the 1% exceptions. Yeah, there's always exceptions, and there's always extreme cases to the left or right, but you don't make laws and decisions and rules by that minority. You know? Now,
in the same... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then you get the people, oh, well, this person was raped or this or that, and because of the state they lived in, they were denied the abortion, and it's like, if it's that important to you, what's a couple hour drive to the next state over where it is and get it done? You shouldn't make it to where 99% of the people in your state don't agree with abortion, but everybody has to change their beliefs and their thought process and their lives to accommodate you. No, if it's that important to you, get in your car, drive over to the next state where it is legal and have it done. I mean, but that's just how I've always seen it. It's crazy how people thinks that everybody around them should bend over backwards and break their thought beliefs and their traditions and whatever else just to accommodate them.
Mm-hmm. Now that ties in great to this article I have right here. The way you said that and everything ties right in. And this is an article about the presidential or vice presidential candidate on the Democratic side, Tim Walz. Tim Walz was a governor of Minnesota, and he's known for a couple things. The things that he is the most well known for is one, getting tampon dispensers put in all the men's bathrooms throughout all the high schools in Minnesota.
Man, what a legacy.
What a legacy. And the other one is to make the state of Minnesota, I'm trying to remember exactly how he said it, basically a safe haven for gender-affirming care. So if you break down the rules, and I'm not going to read this whole article. This is from Newsweek. It says, Tim Walz's policy for transgender minors explained. But the big overarching theory is that, first of all, they made it a state where if you're a parent that wants your kid to have a sex change and your state doesn't do it, you can go there and have it done. It's a place, it's a safe haven for parents who want to change their kid's sex before they, before they're
old enough,
legal adults to do it. Now, the crazy part about this is if you're a parent in Minnesota and your kid decides at 14 that they want to have a gender, manipulation, something. So your son wants to have his privates cut off, or your daughter wants to be a man, and you as a parent say no, the state is legally allowed to take the child from the parent. Now, let's just think about what that means. A kid who, do we let them smoke? No, they're too young. They wouldn't know. Do we let them drink? No. They're way too young. Do we let them vote? No. Do we let them make almost any decision on their own, except for maybe what they're having for lunch that day? But hey, let's cut your genitalia off right now, just because you decided you want to be a girl. How does that make any sense?
Yeah,
that makes absolutely no sense. It actually blows. And then if you deny them that as a parent, the kid's taken from you.
Yeah. And what you wanted to be, can you go back to 14 and think about how many times what you wanted to be when you grow up changed? But, they're allowed to make a permanent decision like that at 14. And then when they get to 17 or 18, they're like, I changed my mind. I don't want to be a girl anymore. Well, too bad, buddy. You done chopped off the jewels and started taking testosterone. You know what I mean? Or estrogen.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you can't change your mind now. It's too late.
I changed my major 5 times in college. 5 times. I have no clue. Today, you know what? Right now, I'm sitting here 43. I still don't know what I want to do with my life. I mean, that's the thing. And I mean, I say that a little jokingly, but ultimately, when you're a kid, when you're a child, going through those hormonal changes that are natural, you are moody, you don't make good choices, you do crazy things, you do all this stuff. And now what we're doing is we're glorifying lapses in our mental stability because of the way our hormones work in our body. So and it gets even, when you get to be an adult and you do this, this used to be classified as an actual mental disorder. And now it's glorified. Bruce Jenner got, Woman of the Year on ESPN. Like, because you changed to a woman.
Yeah, and it's messing with the sports too. And it's allowing for men to beat the shit out of women.
Mm-hmm.
And be broadcasted for the world to see. We just had the Olympics, and I can't remember if she was an American or or what, but there was a female boxer, best in her sport, made it to the gold medal boxing match and went up against an Iranian man that claimed he was a woman. And it, I mean, there's no difference than a man just slapping and beating the crap out of a woman. You know, what we call domestic violence here, but it's put on a world stage for all to see and celebrate this man beating on a woman. And this woman trained and worked her whole life to get to this point, to make it to the gold medal and have it all stolen away from her and get beat on by a man. And she was so emotional, man. If you watch that, because she was facing somebody that was taller than her, bigger than her, stronger than her, tougher than her, and got the crap beat out of her on television for all to see. And she even screamed and cried out, like, after the match, and said, "This is not fair." And it showed that Iranian guy just, like, smirking and looking at her. It makes you want to be waiting outside that arena with a ball bat. I mean, that's just me. I know I ain't Christian, but, hey, Lord ain't done with me yet. Well, you know what I mean? That stuff makes me so mad.
So the part that – and you can go through the whole Olympics thing and get into that. I mean, it was the whole ceremonies and stuff were crazy. But this so-called boxing thing took over, you know, the Olympics, all the news, everything. And ultimately – there was reports saying, you know, some saying she was a man, some saying she was a woman, some saying blah, 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 blah. But it was, I think it was the World Boxing Federation that had said that, and they didn't express why, but they had said she had been disqualified and was not allowed to box in the International Boxing Federation. So whether that means we're juicing, whether that means you really are a man or that you had a testosterone imbalance, whatever that may be, something was wrong, something was messed up, and something wasn't right. Because if you're not even allowed to box in your own sport in the actual World Federation.
Because she was a he. Well, it was a shim.
We shouldn't make fun of Shem. We should make fun of Ham. Right?
What about Japheth? He always gets left out.
He does, doesn't he? He's a good guy. Anyway, this transgender thing is getting rampant. It's getting worse. And this is somebody who changed all these things in Minnesota, in the schools, the high schools, putting tampons in the boys' bathroom. And then turning it to a gender affirming state to the point where they could take your kid away from you if they just decide they want to be something different. This is a very scary, slippery slope. And this is your vice presidential candidate on the Democratic side. Yeah. This is who potentially could be one of the ones pulling strings. No pun intended. But I'm just saying. I'm sorry.
That was awesome. But he's also known for stolen valor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in the mornings, I listen to Super Talk. And Hugh Hewitt, and they were talking about it when they first announced that he was going to be Harris's VP. And dude had a long service in the military. You know, I'm not knocking his service, but it's really big to men in the Army that you don't lie about your rank. You don't lie about your position. You know, that's sacred stuff, you know. And he was the head of this platoon, just got promoted, and got inside information that they were about to deploy to Afghanistan, and stepped away from his post just like a month or two before they announced that they were going to active duty overseas. So he abandoned his people. He found out that he was going to have to actually go to war, and boinked out, man. And there's even been people that was in that platoon that have come forward and talked about it. how upset they were, how they felt deserted by their leader. How that, you know, he got inside information that they were about to go and left his post. Now he was, you know, he had served his time, but there's a difference in stepping away and just, you know, owning it and just be like, hey, you know, I served my time. My time is up. I didn't have to renew. I didn't want to go to war. Hey, you might not like it, but hey, he was honest. He was straightforward and shot from the hip. He didn't do that. He made it, oh, no, I had no idea, you know. And then he's been on video several times insinuating that, you know, he served the military and, you know, held a gun and had stood at on the tarmac and watched the bodies come off the planes with the flags draped. And he never did any of that. He never seen any war. He never held a gun other than training purposes on American soil. So he is using this lie to perpetuate this image, you know, that he is a man of valor and a man of war who's, you know, who seen war and all this stuff when he didn't. And that's a really big deal that they were talking about a lot in the news cycles and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for us as Christians to understand and see these things and see them for what they're worth. I mean, take this at face value. And I, at the same time, I want everybody to remember, and I'm going to say this probably a couple times through this, because we see the news, we get fed certain things, right? We get certain articles that our news is very, it's hard to trust. Because it's to steer, you know, the masses in one direction or another. It's what it's meant to do. It is. It's meant to steer us one way or another. And the public is easily swayed. I'm saying we all have been swayed at one time or another by something we heard, and including the things that we're hearing right now. However, some of those things are very true that have happened. It's just a matter, do you glorify them? Or do you look at that and does a, you know, little siren go off in your head? You know, is there a red flag there? Like, this isn't right. So that's what's really important, is that what's your discernment like in a situation like this? Are you like, oh, well, tampons in the boy's bat, it's no big deal. They're just going in there because they're going through a phase. I mean, why is this only happening now? Why does the world, every time something little changes, the next step, it's the next step, it's the next step. We don't stop. There's not like an ending point. When we stop and start with one little thing that somebody says is not a big deal, what turns into the next thing and turns into the next thing? It's an avalanche. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
You take no part in the evil deeds of darkness. Expose them. You know, by being complacent and just, it ain't no big. I mean, that's just something little, you know. Yeah, you're being complacent. You are taking part in the deeds of darkness. And even people, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be supporting Israel, God's chosen people. And a lot of people may or may not realize the guy that was better qualified, a lot better candidate on paper and more popular with the people was this guy named Shapiro. But he was not chosen because he was Jewish. And with all this stuff going on with Israel, Kamala Harris, or the people that pulls her strings, they are anti-Israel. They're pro-Palestinian. And they did not. That's the only reason. If you look at it on paper, I can't remember what state it was. I think it was Pennsylvania is that he was a senator of a very key state that they need to win the seat. The all smart bets was on that Shapiro guy being the VP. But because of his religion and race, he was disqualified because they're not pro-Israel.
Well, anyway, I mean, we could keep going at this one all day long, but why don't you jump in to what you were telling me a little bit before. A little bit about Elon.
Yeah, well, Elon, he's been in the news a lot. And, you know, he even had a interview on X with Donald Trump that made a lot of news. But I had seen another post today, actually, and it was Dr. Joy Pugh. She wrote the book Beastmark, End of Days. And she talks about in that book, and I've even had her on the show, and talks about how she believes Elon Musk is going to be ushering in, or at least he is a foreshadowing of what the Beastmark will be, talking about these Neuralink chips. And she talks about how, yeah, it'll start off as this chip that they put in your brain that sends coding and signal to heal you and to correct, you know, malfunctions in your DNA. And she said, you know, who's going to argue with someone that was born with a disability if they were handicapped and couldn't use their legs? But then this chip is implanted that sends the right signals to your brain to make your legs start working and moving again. Now this person that can never walk can walk, or someone that was born with blindness, you know, this chip can send the right signals and make you see again. Just all these great things that, you know, these chips can promise, you know. And what kind of terrible person that you would be for not wanting the lame to walk again, or not wanting the blind to be able to see. You know, what kind of terrible person are you that you would deny this? But that's just how it all starts. You know, even in the book of Revelation, it talks about the Antichrist that comes. He's talking about world peace, world prosperity, no more wars, you know. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. You know, who can argue with that? Because that's like you talked about the frog in the boiling water. That's how these things start. But the ultimate goal, and he's even talked about it on interviews, is a world hive mind. So you can communicate with somebody without even saying a word. Your body can regenerate and heal itself. Will live forever. Even messing with the coding of your DNA to give you superhuman abilities and just all this stuff. But once you have this, you are, it's like the Matrix. You are plugged into the system. It tracks your every single move. And they can even just turn you off like a television. Once they have that control, by the press of a button, can shut you down and freeze you in place. And that's what it talks about. It says, you know, in the end of days, that if you don't have this mark, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade. Well, how can they do that? They have to track you. They got to know your every move, what you're doing, what, you know, everything. And this is a means to do so. And he's been working on this chip for a while, but I seen today that it's advancing. And I'll read some from this article here. It says, Elon Musk hopes to implant millions of Neuralink chips into people's brains over the next decade, the tech billionaire has said. The Neuralink chief executive announced these plans following an update from the neurotech startup that revealed new capabilities of its brain-computer interface. According to the firm, the second patent to be fitted with this device was able to use it to play first-person shooter games and design three-dimensional objects. And in quotations, it says, if all goes well, there will be hundreds of people with Neuralinks within a few years, maybe tens of thousands within 5 years, and millions within 10 years. And this was from a blog post on X. And it says, Neuralink said that the latest participant in its first ever human study of the technology was able to perform new tasks using their thoughts, such as designing 3D objects using computer-aided design software. The participant was able to design and print a custom mount for his Neuralink charger using the brain-computer interface, a process that was impossible with the assistive technologies he had previously used. He was also able to play a first-person video game that typically requires two separate joysticks to control the character. Just running around is enjoyable because I can look side to side, he said. I can think about where to look, and it goes where I want it to. It's insane. The Prime study has focused on people with quadriplegia. Through Mr. Musk's claim, the technology will one day allow humans to merge with artificial intelligence in order to augment brain and body performance. Which it goes on, but yeah, just you guys, if you're unfamiliar with this Neuralink chip and what it's supposed to do and just all this kind of stuff, I highly encourage you to check it out, because this is something that they're already doing, they're already using, and they're just trying to perfect it and make it even better. And as he said, within the next 10 years, millions of people will have this chip.
So it talks about in Revelation 2 that everybody's going to worship the beast. You know, the ones that have the mark will worship the beast. And how, and I can't remember, I think it was Brian Peterson we were talking to about that, that said, that how would they know? You know, how would they know everybody was worshiping the beast unless they were able to honestly read your thoughts, know where you're at, know what you're doing? And what's the way to do that? A hive mind. It's to have that there. Now, what I think is crazy, and this is going to tie into the same thing, because this is the other thing I brought, which is why I'm really happy you brought that up. But I'm going to tack onto this with the other. And it's not really an article. I was turned on to this by somebody at work today. And you know, we've talked a little bit about in the past, and I know, the World Economic Forum, right? We've talked a little bit about that, and there's some pretty crazy things, that have come out of that. And there's a lot of different, you know, news you hear back and forth. And I, you know, sometimes, like I said, the news, you can't always trust what you hear. Believe me, CNN does not have your best intentions at heart. Fox does not have your best intentions at heart. I don't care if you think one's a Democratic, one's a Republican network. It's manipulation. They're first of all, meant to be a distraction, meant to pit people against each other. It's not meant to help you. Just know that right now. Know that. There is no such thing as unbiased news. There's no such thing.
Just left wing, right wing. They're both wings of the same bird.
Yes.
Operation Paperclip. Look it up.
So what I went and looked up today under what somebody told me, and I went to the World Economic Forum website to look up their plans about a digital identity. I don't know how much you've looked into this, Justin, but this is when you talk about Elon and you talk about the Neuralink, and there's other companies that are trying to replicate the same thing, right? There's actually, I can't remember the name of one of the other main competitors, but they've tried to transplant these and they've already done it too. So it's not, somebody's hot on their heels with this stuff. But I'm going to read you what the World Economic Forum says about a digital identity. And then I'm going to show you, it might be hard to see, so I want you to go look it up. But Google World Economic Forum digital identity, go to their website, look at what it shows you. You'll see the same graph, the same wheel that I'm going to show you. But it says, having a trusted, verifiable identity is essential. As digital interaction increases at unprecedented rates, the information compromising our identities is being widely shared in ways that both create risks and opportunities. If designed right, digital identities can provide significant economic value, save hundreds of billions of hours through streamlined e-government, cut trillions of dollars in costs for businesses, for the roughly 1 billion people going without official proof of identity, and the more than 3 billion people unable to effectively use an identity on digital channels. Collaborative and user-centric digital identity models guided by shared principles can be empowering. Now, this, I'll show you. You're not going to be able to read it right now, but this is what this looks like. This is what the graph that, or the little wheel they have on there to talk about what all entails a digital identity. And I'm going to show you the
registration and ID on there.
let me tell you a couple things that are on there, because this is all things that will be tied back to this digital identity. And if your digital identity is, I don't know how else to put it, but if your digital identity is, you know, truly a digital identity, how are you going to carry it? You're going to have it on your driver's license? No. This is going to be something that's going to have to be implanted in you. This is very blatant the way that they say this, but you have to read between the lines. But I'm going to read around the outside of this just some of the things that are there. Cybersecurity, all right? Justice and law. So your digital identity is tied to, you know, they're saying they're going to make you safer by having these people, you know, have the well, we know what they did. We're able to track this person down because they did this. But all that is, as soon as you give somebody control, it lets them control everybody else that has that same thing. You know, it's one of those things. So banking and capital markets. Retail, consumer, goods and lifestyle. Oh, you need this to buy things. Is that's what it sounds like. Supply chain and transport. Internet governance, meaning someone's controlling what you do on the internet.
What you say. Checking you all the time.
But getting way worse. There are people that are now in different countries, and actually Great Britain is one that's getting into a lot of trouble. Canada is having some issues too. But when you have this, they're talking about, like, especially in countries of socialist governments, this includes healthcare. So if you don't have a digital identity, guess what? You don't have access to your prescriptions. You don't have access to going to a doctor. You can't do it because you don't have this chip implanted in you. That's where we're heading. This is stuff, this shouldn't surprise anybody. This is what the Bible tells us is going to happen. It shouldn't surprise anybody.
We're already doing it in China. I seen a news video the other day. Well, not just that, but like, yeah, they have that, and they got the cameras watching everybody everywhere, and you have the social score. So if you don't wash your hands coming out of the bathroom, you get a point deducted off your social card. If you don't pay all your bills on time, that's a point deducted off your social card. And this all determines whether, you know, your kids go to nice schools, if you get that nice job, you know, and all these different things. But I'd seen a video where China is the first to implement AI into the classroom, and these kids wear these bands, these headbands, and it has these sensors and connection points to the head, and they measure the kids' brain waves. And then it comes down and droops over the eyes, kind of like the Google glasses and stuff. And it monitors the kids' eyes, their pupils, and whether they are engaged in paying attention in class. And the teacher gets a live feed of this to her computer. So if she gets a kid that his heart rate's starting to drop, she knows that, you know, he's relaxed and he's about to go to sleep, or he's breathing has gotten into a certain pattern. He's asleep and can call him out, or, you know, give him deductions on his grades. And all this stuff gets fed into a hive mind computer and generated into pies and graphs, and all this information given to the teacher to show if her teaching is effective, if the kids are engaged and paying attention, you know, by measuring their pupils, you know, and just all this different stuff, man. It's wild.
That is nuts. And it's only going to get, and I honestly believe, and this is my theory, but I believe that, you know, when we look at the World Economic Forum or the UN or whoever you want to put into this, these groups all are in cahoots with each other to some degree. And I think, you know, sometimes you look at China and I think that they're just kind of saying, regardless of whether or not, you know, anybody over here had any say in that, but the idea that they're sitting there and watching and going, huh, let's see how this goes. And then we can incorporate this, this, or this. And it's a slippery slope.
And it's a keeping up with the Joneses, because then you have the Americans, Europeans, and everywhere else saying, oh, well, look, China's doing this, so they're kids are going to be smarter. They got more technological advances. They're going to surpass us. So therefore we need to do it too, and do it better and bigger, because we can't have them outdoing us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's like that. Nuclear warheads, AI, military equipment. It's like a keeping up with the Joneses thing. So if another country does something, no matter how unethical or ludicrous it is, all the other countries will follow suit just to say they're doing it to protect their interests so that this other country doesn't surpass them and potentially harm them or take them over.
Yeah. I think they're all in it together. I'll be honest. I'm a little, that's the conspiracy theorist in me to some degree, but I do believe that everything's pushing towards that one world government, which, you know, we talk about this in the Bible as well, but we're coming to that point that I don't think things are as separated or people are as angry. I think there's certain countries that maybe are not wanting to get involved, but I would think the major powers all have a vested stake already in that. Quite some time.
Yeah, that's why this last election, in my opinion, turned out the way it did. Because we were slowly, it took us, you know, like you said, the frog and the boiling water. Once again, you can't just take away all of our privileges and rights and just throw us into a one world government. You have to slowly condition the people and take away little liberties and freedoms and put in all these, you know, communist type regulations a little bit at a time and ease them into it. And we've been slowly easing toward this new world order. Since, you know, Bush Sr., he talked about it openly in his speeches, he even called it a new world order. Mm-hmm. So the handpicked politicians for this new world order have been picked ever since. And 90% of them are Freemasonics or Skull and Bones. They're programmed and handpicked to do the job that the powers that be behind the scenes that are really pulling the strings want. And they thought that Hillary Clinton was just going to hold her hand out like the baton race, and that baton was just going to get put in her hand, and they were going to keep marching toward their goal that they've been slowly working at for hundreds of years. Well, they didn't expect the American people to stand up and tip the board game over into the floor, because mm-hmm. here come Donald Trump, you know, because the American people, and jerked that baton away. And what did he do? He said, it's not about globalism. It's about nationalism. He started bucking back on the NATO and the Paris Accord and all this globalist agenda. He started focusing on nationalism, strengthen the nation, and give us independence. And we started drilling, making our own, you know, oil and electricity, because that's where your freedom comes from. And it totally set back the agenda for this one world government, this one world religion, this new world order. So come next election cycle, that's why you had riots in the street. You had January 6th, just all these planned things to keep him out of office, and the messing with the ballots, the mail-in ballots, the pandemic, all this stuff, all stops were pulled out because they knew the globalists could not take another 4 years of Donald Trump. And I think that's why you see it now, because now they know, after all the kickback they had from the last election, if they do this again like they done last time, they risk civil war. So what do? They're trying everything they can. First, they tried to prosecute him and disqualify him from running. You know, that ain't working out too well for him. So then they just tried to kill him. I mean, anybody that's got half of a brain, in my opinion, that sees all this stuff going on, it should be crystal clear what is going on.
It's a scary world we're living in, but we have to always remember we got to keep our eyes on the prize and know that even though there seems to be a battle waging right now, we've already won the war. And, I mean, it's scary. I mean, there's this digital identity. I encourage you to look at this. If you have any questions, jump on the World Economic Forum website, look at this. And I think that it all ties in together with the things Justin's talking about with Elon Musk and maybe not necessarily, maybe he is a foreshadowing and who knows, you don't know who's got good intentions and who doesn't. But that's why I always say you have to use that discernment. You have to have the, you know, the discernment that, that God gives you to look into those things, and make educated choices. You know, we have to focus on the fact that we're, you know, we're with Jesus, we're saved in the long run, but there's going to be a bumpy, bumpy ride until we get to that, that final reward. There's going to be a bumpy ride. And we all know that as Christians, we all should know that. And I just get scared that we see things where we're accepting things that, that are not godly. We're accepting things that are not what the church is supposed to be about. And we're changing due to cultural norms rather than focusing on scripture. And it is going to be, it's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people. So right now, our whole point is to wake up as many people as we can to focus on the main thing, as we've talked about before. Don't give in to these things. Don't give in to the negative nuances of this world. Don't just assimilate with the culture. We can't do that. What do we got to do? We got to radiate, not assimilate. So that's my focus on that. But it is a scary thing, though. We just have to keep our eyes open.
Yep. Be the light in the darkness.
Be the light in the darkness. And as always,
keep digging.
We thank you for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Questions, comments, or future episode ideas? We'd love to hear from you at thedig423@gmail.com. If you enjoy our content, don't forget to share, subscribe, and check out our Facebook group at The Dig Podcast. Remember, you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig. Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the handcrafted audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.